Hi everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gospel Exegesis, where we take a look at the literal sense of the Gospel for the day, the Gospel that's in the lectionary for the Catholic Mass. And in the last few days, we have been looking at John chapter 6 every day that has been the Mass's Gospel reading, and we are continuing today, John chapter 6, verses 44 to 51. So here's the reading, and then we'll do an exegesis on what the literal sense is telling us. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God, and to hear the teaching of the Father and learn from it is to come to me. Not that anybody has seen the Father, except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you most solemnly, everybody who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, and they are dead. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that a man may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world." So what's the context here? So Jesus has begun the Eucharistic discourse, or the bread of life discourse, that started earlier in John chapter 6. And we learn later on, the text hasn't told us this yet, but it will at the end of the sermon. It tells us the location of this entire sermon is actually in the synagogue at Capernaum. So Jesus is in the synagogue and he's teaching the crowds. In the last few verses, he's been inviting people to have faith that he really is the Son of God, or the true bread from heaven. And then in verses 42 and 43, just before this, the crowd is pretty indignant and they say, "How can this man be from heaven?" And that's what is the context. Now Jesus launches into this in verse 44. "No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me." So there seems to be a response to their question about how can this man be from heaven. And so the answer appears to be, well, you're not going to believe that unless the Father gives you a revelation or leads you to believe that. And this is amplifying a point he made a few verses earlier about his will and the Father's will being united. So the main point Jesus is making here is that to believe Jesus is the Son of God, it's not automatic, and in fact, it's probably not easy. So the Father must already be working in the person's heart to help a person realize that he is the Son of God. So in answer to their question, how can this man say he's the Son of God, that he's from heaven? Jesus' answer is, well, only the Father can reveal that to you. That's his basic answer. And he finishes that thought by saying, "I will raise him up at the last day." And he'd actually said this a few verses earlier. That's the mission the Father has given the Son. He's given the Son the job of raising humans up bodily on the last day so that they can live with him in heaven bodily. That's the mission, the overall goal. Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God." So this is Jesus quoting the Old Testament. Now, it's not a direct quote, it's a paraphrase of Isaiah 54, verse 13. And if you read that in context, that's a prophecy that God gives about the end times. God basically says, one day you will all be taught by me, by God. Notice that Jesus, though, says prophets. It is written in the prophets, plural. So he's probably thinking of this general line of thinking that all the prophets teach, or at least a few of the prophets teach. For example, in Jeremiah 31, there's this same idea that one day in the end times, all people will be taught by God. So Jesus quotes this, and then he says, "And to hear the teaching of the Father and to learn from it is to come to me." And that would be quite shocking to the crowd, because Jesus quotes the Old Testament passage, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God." So he quotes that, and then he says, "It's fulfilled in me, in Jesus." So the Jews who read the Old Testament They did believe that these passages would be fulfilled one day in the end times, but they imagined that what the passage was teaching was that God would speak directly to them in the end times. Well, here comes Jesus, and he says that's exactly what God is doing. The Son has received his message directly from the Father, and now he's communicating it directly to the people. This is a fulfillment of that passage. The end times are here. God is speaking directly to his people through Jesus. So in other words, it's the Father's will that the people listen to the Son, learn from his message, and come to him for salvation. That's Jesus' main point. Verse 46, Jesus says, "Not that anybody has seen the Father." So Jesus here is probably correcting their idea that they had, that God himself as Father would teach them directly. He's saying, not that anybody has seen the Father. But then he adds this qualifier, except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. So who's the one that comes from God? It's the Son. So Jesus' point is, since the only person who has seen God directly is the Son, and no one else has, then people should listen to the Son if they want to know the words of God. So it's an interesting, well, it's a very clever way of going about it. Jesus constantly starts with things that the people agree with. He starts with presuppositions that they accept, and then he gets them to think a bit deeper about it and what that means in the context of him being the Son of God. Verse 47, "I tell you most solemnly," so that means he's about to say something fairly important, "everybody who believes..." So, believes what? Anyone who believes what Jesus has just been talking about. So, anyone who believes that Jesus really is the Son of God and they choose to listen to him has eternal life. Now, notice that's a present tense. Jesus says that anybody who believes already has eternal life. They already have fellowship with God. So, that's verse 47, and that's the end of that particular thought. We now get to verse 48. And verse 48 to 58 is what a lot of scholars would say is the second half of the Bread of Life discourse. So if the first half was an invitation to faith, we're now starting the second half, which is an invitation to the Eucharist. So at this point on, verse 48 onwards, Jesus starts to get explicitly Eucharistic, and he starts to talk more about flesh and bread. So up until now, he's been asking the crowd to believe in his identity as the one who's sent from the Father, the one who's from heaven. Now he's going to take it a step further, and he's going to invite the crowd to go deeper and to actually eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's the language that Jesus eventually ends up using. So the general flow of the sermon is that Jesus starts by getting them to believe in him, or to believe that he's the Son of God, but then the believing leads to eating. That's what we're about to see. Believing leads to doing something. Verse 48, "I am the bread of life." So he's already said this once in verse 35, and he's just restating it. "Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, but they are dead." So Jesus brings up the manna in the wilderness. Again, this is something they brought up earlier, which you would have heard in the last couple of days on the podcast. So he brings up the manna again. Why? Because he knows that the crowd places a really big importance on this event where God provides manna in the wilderness. So Jesus keeps referring them back to that, and he wants them to think a bit deeper about that event. So Jesus is saying the manna in the wilderness was bread from heaven. However, he wants them to realize that even those who ate the manna in the wilderness in the book of Exodus, they died, even though they ate this bread from heaven. So Jesus wants to point them to a greater version of this bread from heaven, one that will sustain people eternally and will not lead people to die eventually. Verse 50, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that a man may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever." So Jesus says that to eat the Son of God as the one who comes down from heaven will give one eternal life, unlike the manna, which could not give eternal life. The new bread from heaven is here, one greater than the manna in the desert. But Jesus hasn't answered the question yet of what does it mean to eat the bread. He hasn't said that yet. All he said is that, "I am the one who's come down from heaven. I am the true bread. if you eat me, you will have eternal life. But he hasn't actually said what to eat him means just yet. So what does it mean to eat the Son of Man or to eat Jesus? Well, on one level, it could refer to taking Jesus as spiritual nourishment, as in you need to absorb his teachings, you need to meditate on him, you need to follow him. So that's certainly possible, and that's probably true. However, Jesus is going to amplify this in a much more physical, literal way in the coming verses, and in the coming days we'll see that. And certainly that's the stumbling block for the crowd. If he just meant you need to absorb me spiritually, they wouldn't have had a problem with it. But you'll see the language that the crowd uses, they really are quite skeptical that he can literally give them his flesh. But that seems to be what he's getting at. So this is what he says next. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And now that's probably an allusion to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, there's this tree of life. And if they eat the fruit of it, they can live forever. But then when they sin, when Adam and Eve sin, they're cast out and they can no longer access that tree. So in a sense, Jesus is fulfilling the original tree of life. He's opening the way to immortality, which was lost when Jesus was cast out from the tree. And that is essentially part of Catholic belief. The Eucharist is, in a sense, the fruit of the tree of life. It doesn't give us physical immortality, but it does give us spiritual immortality. So that probably is at the back of Jesus' mind here when he's speaking. Verse 51, and this is the last verse for today, "The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world." So Jesus now gets more specific. Up till now, you could have thought the bread from heaven is just Jesus in general. But now Jesus says, "The bread that I shall give is my flesh." So the bread that comes down from heaven is Jesus' flesh. So let's think about what Jesus has said so far. He said that to achieve eternal life, one must eat his flesh. That's the teaching so far. And then he adds this bit, "The flesh that I shall give for the life of the world." When does Jesus give his flesh for the life of the world? Well, there's probably different interpretations. Probably in his incarnation, he's giving his flesh for the life of the world. Certainly the main event would be his sacrifice on the cross. That's when, out of love, he gives up his own flesh for the life of the world. But neither of those events, the incarnation and the crucifixion, lead to us being able to actually eat Jesus' flesh. We can't actually partake of his flesh from those events, at least not in a physical, literal way. So when Jesus says, "The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world," he's probably thinking of a future event. And in particular, he's probably thinking about the Eucharist, the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. If you look at the accounts of the Last Supper, Jesus says, when he holds up the bread, "This is my body." So there's probably a connection here. In fact, if you look at the other Gospels, when they talk about the Last Supper and the institution of the Eucharist, the same Greek word is used there. When in the Last Supper it says, "This is my body given for you," and here Jesus says, "The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world," that same really specific Greek word, which we translate into English as "for," is used in both cases. So I think Jesus here, we can reasonably say he's probably thinking about the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. That's when he gives his flesh for the life of the world. And that's the form of the Son's flesh that he has given us to partake in. It's the Eucharist. And this teaching about flesh and blood is going to get more graphic and more literal in the coming verses, and we'll look at this in the coming days. So how does this get taken up into Catholic teaching, and where can we find a reference to verses 44 to 51 in the Catechism? So there's a few verses or a few paragraphs, and I'll just read out some of them which are the most striking. So paragraph 259 is about the Trinity and how the different roles of the Trinity play out in the world. Quite a deep, complex theological teaching, but this is what it says. "Being a work at once common and personal, the whole divine economy makes known both what is proper to the divine persons and their one divine nature. Hence, the whole Christian life is a communion with each of the divine persons, without any way separating them. Everyone who glorifies the Father does so through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Everyone who follows Christ does so because the Father draws him and the Spirit moves him. So earlier, at the start of our podcast today, we looked at how it says no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. And that's the verse that the paragraph in the Catechism is referring to here. To be part of the Trinity is to be a part of all three persons of the Trinity. Paragraph 151 is about believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. For a Christian, believing in God cannot be separated from believing in the one he has sent, his beloved Son, in whom the Father is well pleased. God tells us to listen to him. The Lord himself said to his disciples, "Believe in God, believe also in me." We can believe in Jesus Christ because he is himself God, the Word made flesh. Quote, "No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known." Because he has seen the Father, Jesus Christ is the only one who knows him and can reveal him. So there we see the Catechism bringing together various things Jesus says in the Gospel of John about his own identity as the Son of God who has come to reveal the will of the Father. And then in paragraph 1355, we have a reference to the Eucharist, and in particular, the way the Eucharist is celebrated in our modern Mass. It says, "In the communion preceded by the Lord's Prayer and the breaking of the bread, the faithful receive the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of Christ, who offered himself for the life of the world. Because this bread and wine have been made Eucharisted, according to an ancient Greek expression, we call this food Eucharist, and no one may take part in it unless he believes that what we teach is true. He has received baptism for the forgiveness of sins and new birth, and lives in keeping with what Christ taught." And in the coming days, we're going to hear more and more of these paragraphs from the Catechism about the Catholic teaching on the Eucharist. So please stick around for the coming episodes in the next couple of days. Thanks for listening. Please tune in again tomorrow.